if we don't do anything going into the season, I'm happy with the group that we've assembled right now. We got some extra forwards, so there'll be good competition in training camp for jobs. You know, I like our defense. I think we've become more mobile back there. So I like our team right now going into the season.
Jim Benning, the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, liking his team right now after they acquire Brandon Sutter from Pittsburgh. They've just signed former Flames Sven Berchi to a one-year deal. And Ben Kuzma from the Vancouver province joins us here on the big show. Mr. Kuzma, thank you for doing this busy day here for Vancouver.
Yeah, really quiet, you know, nothing happening here on the left coast. I was about to go to the beach, but that changed.
You just heard from Jim Benning. He's happy with his group. What's your assessment of the work that he's done this summer?
Well, I would think after the draft, he's probably looked at a little better light today. I mean, the Canucks basically didn't accomplish anything at the draft. I mean, they were never able to recoup a second-round pick, which they didn't have. Couldn't get that for Eddie Lack. Were sitting on their hands when that rich second round went by. They thought they had a deal for BXO with San Jose for a second round pick. That blew up in their faces on the Friday of the draft. So they came home with their picks and a lot of angst in the marketplace here. But everybody kind of knew that the one problem that they maybe weren't addressing was center ice. The fact that you can take it from a number of perspectives. You can look at the division. You can look at the conference. And you can look at, you know, an eventual succession plan to Henrik Sedin. You better have these things not so much in place, but be trending in the right direction. I mean, Henrik Sedin's going to be 35 in September. I mean, he's coming off a 70-point season. You know, he's going to put up 60 or 70 again. Next season is not a problem. It's a 100-point team that should at least contend. And I'll use the word contend for a playoff position. It's going to be a very difficult division. But they were awfully thin down the middle. And the way things were looking this fall were that Bo Horvat, who had a great rookie season, was probably going to get thrust into the second-line center position because he played that well, and Nick Bonino just fell off the face of the earth. I mean, Bonino had 7 goals in his first 14 games. And looked like everything they could have hoped for, and just went into the tank. He went into a 15-game slide without a goal. And quite frankly, Nick Bonino's a third-line center, okay? I mean, he was thrust into that role here. Expectations were great. When you start scoring early, people are comparing you to Ryan Kessler, and he's not Ryan Kessler. He's pretty good defensively. He was great on the PK here, but, you know, he only finished with 15 goals. And I think it was a situation where Jim Benning was actually doing some good work at the draft because he had talked to Jim Rutherford about Pittsburgh's cap situation, and really they're kind of looking at, well, who's going to be our third line center here? And that's where Bonino kind of figures in. They signed Eric Fair too, and Fair can also play the wing. So Nick Bonino goes to Pittsburgh, and I think he'll be better there. He could be a 15-goal guy on the third line in a city where there's not going to be as much pressure on him. So that was part of the equation, but obviously the bigger part was getting a center in return who they think can play at this level in this division, and that's Brandon Sutter. I mean, he's kind of a polarizing player, guys. I mean, you know, he had 21 goals, and he scored a lot of game winners, and he has a knack for scoring big goals, but like a lot of other players, he can go into those 6 or 8 game funks where you can't find him. I think the concern I have, I mean, he's 6'3", but he's kind of 190-ish. You know, he's kind of that, he's not a thick center. So, you know, the Canucks open up in Anaheim, and he gets to see Mr. Getzlaff and Mr. Kessler. And the next night, they go to Los Angeles, and you've got Anze Kopitar and Jeff Carter and whoever else staring you down in a matchup situation. So I think what the Canucks like is the fact that, you know, he's proven enough at 26 that he's a decent two-way player who has a knack of scoring some goals for you. And they're in a situation now where that bumps Horvat back down to the third line, where he can probably develop properly. And then the Canucks also announced today that they're going to, you know, fast track an extension with Sutter, who's an unrestricted free agent, who's a 3.3 cap hit next season. But they're fast tracking that. And I would think that from a Canuck perspective, they might be able to exchange term for money, because I don't think Brandon Sutter, who's already been traded twice, wants to be on Moo again.
Ben Kuzmer from the Vancouver Province, our guest here on The Big Show, Pat.
I'm curious, Ben, where does that contract potentially slot in for Brandon Sutter? We just saw a Couturier's deal today and just over $4 million for him. Where does Sutter's contract kind of fit, knowing he'd be on his third deal and has a $3.3 million hit right now?
Well, if you look around the league and, you know, the Predators just signed a couple of their centers, you know, 25-year-old centers. And, and I would think Brandon Sutter should be of the understanding that, you know, unless you're Derek Stepan or Tarasenko, you're not hitting a home run, that the entire landscape has changed. And, you know, that's why I kind of referenced term as opposed to money now.
Right.
3.3 cap hit. Can they start him off, you know, at that and maybe go forward on a 3-year or 4-year deal at, you know, 3.5, 4, 4.5? I don't think it's going to go much north of that. It's just the new reality in the NHL. I mean, look at all the 1-year show me deals for all the restricted free agents coming out of entry level contracts. Nobody is hitting a home run anymore. And I think Brandon Sutter will change, exchange peace of mind in a city where he's wanted. And for a coach he's familiar with from his junior days in the Dub, for the uncertainty of being out there again next summer.
Player for player, how much of an upgrade is Sutter on Bonino?
Probably stronger on the puck, a little bit more finish capability. I mean, Bonino was scoring, like I said earlier, 7 goals in his first 14 games. It was like this guy was picking corners and everything was going in. I think in Sutter, you know, if you think of a third line center in Pittsburgh getting 20 goals, that's pretty good because you're not getting the minutes or the power play time. So I think he's a better finisher. I think he's better in the clutch. He's got a lot, like I said earlier, he's got a lot of game winning goals. He had 2 goals in the final regular season game when the Penguins clinched a playoff spot by beating the Sabres. So that says something to me about when the spirit moves him, you know, being able to get to. So I think he's better than Bonino in that respect. But I'll tell you something about Nick Bonino. He's a pretty good player away from the puck. He was a big part of the Canucks second-ranked PK. And like I said earlier, you put him in the right situation on the third line with maybe Fair and Dupuis or whatever in Pittsburgh, he can probably get you 15 goals and not hurt you.
So does this, and if we're keeping the theme down the middle, does this open up Bo Horvat to be, no questions asked, the number 3 center in Vancouver this year?
Well, I think what the Canucks like is it gives them some options. I mean, you know, at this point in time, you'd have a hard time saying Brandon Sutter is not your number 2 center, but Bo Horvat wasn't supposed to make the team last year, and he had a phenomenal season. So, you know, there's a big uptick there on Horvat's capabilities, but I just don't think he needs the pressure. I mean, remember, this is a kid who got thrown into the deep end of the pool because he was so good defensively. He was so good on faceoffs. He led the Canucks in the circle. And then with all that confidence he gained, the offense kind of flowed from it in the second half of the season. Guy was going end to end. He was doing everything. But to expect a 20-year-old kid to suddenly score 25 to 30 goals for as your second-line center, I think those are unfair expectations because of the pressure that comes with it. I mean, everything was a bonus last year with Bo, right? And will he eventually be their number 2 center? For sure. But I think it's a little too early to put that kind of pressure on him in this division and this conference.
Ben Kuzma from the Vancouver Province, our guest here on The Big Show. We were chatting earlier, and I think there's a danger sometime from far away pretending you know what a team's prospect pool is like. So I want to ask you, Ben, since you get signed today, we know about Bo Horvat, but what about the youth movement in Vancouver? Who are they waiting on? How many guys are pushing for jobs? How many guys are close?
I don't think anybody's close. I think that's the problem, and I think that's why Brandon Sutter is going to get term because, you know, whether it's Jared McCann or Cole Castles down the middle, you know, they're a few years away. Mm-hmm. Brandon Gaunce was a first-round pick in the middle, but he converted him to left wing a couple years ago, and he's now that 6'2", 200-pound guy at 21 who goes up and down your left side, and maybe he projects as a third-line left winger. Hunter Shinkarak, as you guys know from the Dub days, is a finisher, but he got off to a really slow start as a pro, had a struggle with understanding what it means to be a pro every day, had a good second half for the Utica Comets. He's on the horizon too, but none of these guys are like there yet. They're all probably a couple of years away. And that's why, you know, you're seeing the fact that, you know, even a guy like Chris Higgins, who they maybe could have got something for at the trade deadline last year, or at least moved him in the summer for a pick, they're keeping a guy like Higgins around because even at 32, if Berchi flames out on the left side, at least they have another option there. And I think that that's part and parcel of what's happening here. I mean, the Canucks are dangling the carrot in front of Berchi, but he's got to run with it.
Yeah. The other comment that I picked up was Jim Benning talked about how he likes his blue line now, able to move the puck quicker. But by my account, that's Stanton out and Bartkowski in. Was it really that big a change?
Well, it wasn't a big change because of waiver problems. They were probably looking at a situation of carrying eight defensemen to try to avoid losing somebody. And I just think that Frank Corrado has had a leg up on Clendenning. Adam's kind of a funny guy. He's 6 feet, you know, pretty thick, around 200, but moving in his own zone, his positioning, a lot of it's with his stick, not his body, and moving the puck. He had a lot of trouble in that regard and some turnover problems. And I just think that as a group, their defense got exposed in the playoffs against the Flames. And I don't know if they're any better in that regard, but, the one thing they're trying to do is get a little quicker afoot. Corrado can move the puck better. He plays with a little bit of edge. I mean, Bartkowski was really good 2 years ago in Boston. He was playing in the top four and just fell off the face of the earth last year in Boston. But Jim Benning has a connection that goes back to the Boston days and thought that, a guy who could probably play in their third pairing, he won't hurt them there. Then you can figure out if it's going to be, Corrado getting a shot there and at least having some sort of rotation. They're probably going to carry seven defensemen and 14 forwards.
Right.
So at least it gives them some depth and some more options up front because they're going to have to carry a couple of extra guys and they probably going to take a long, hard look at Jake Virtanen.
Yeah, and I should point out, too, it was more than just Stanton out because BX is gone, too. Pat?
And just picking up on that blue line trade, because I'm completely with you. I mean, there were times in that series against Calgary where they did get exposed, specifically that pairing of BX and Sabiza, and yet I look at it, and with Bartkowski in, with Edler and Hamhuis and Tanev still there, like, is that the strength of the Canucks right now? When you take a look at attributes and things, like, is that the thing that you're most comfortable with on their back end, or are there other areas that you're more comfortable with?
I don't know if I'm comfortable with anything, to tell you the truth. I mean, like you said, let's be honest, whether it was defending or try to get the puck out of their own zone or handling the Flames' aggressive forecheck, they struggled in every conceivable category. Now, Edler and Tanev does give you a decent first pairing. Nobody's going to argue that. Dan Hamhuis can still play. He's got a year left. And it's the situation there, whether you're playing with Spezza, Yannick Weber actually played really well with Hamhuis last year, and he brings that second power play unit point shot that's pretty heavy and accurate. And that leaves Spezza in your third pairing. I mean, BX was a third pairing guy by the end of it all last year. And whether that's Bartkowski or like we mentioned earlier with Corrado, there's a bit of a rotation there in the third pairing, and that's probably what they want. They want to have that extra guy, which is going to allow them to probably carry 14 forwards, because I think they have a lot of question marks up front too. It's a situation. I mean, do you play, you got the Sedins. I mean, do you play them with Verbata to make sure you've got this great number one line and Verbata is going to get his 30 goals? Or do you look at your second line that could be Berchi, Sutter, and Burrows and figure, no, we'll put Burrows up with the Twins because he can play with them and drop Verbata down to the second line and try to have a second wave of attack. That's always been the problem here in Vancouver, a one-line hockey club, and they're going to have to spread those guys around because they're going to need offense for more than one line, and that concerns me as much as anything else.
Ben, I guess the final one, we heard, the clip coming in from Benning. He's happy with this group heading into camp. They get Berchi signed today. Is there work left to be done for Jim Benning before now and when Penticton rolls around?
Well, they're pretty much at the cap right now. They're pretty much at the ceiling. So the only thing I can see him doing is moving a player for a player. And, Jim's pretty good at that stuff. I don't know what it would be. I would think that, when you're down to seven defensemen and you maybe don't have one on the farm who's that close, you might look in that regard. And there's a lot of UFAs out there, and there's a lot of guys who aren't going to command the money they thought they were going to command. So I'd keep an eye on the back end.
Ben, as always, appreciate this. Thanks for giving us a little insight today.
Okay, boys, take care.